closing in on the month of May and closing in on summertime, which has traditionally meant baseball at various locales around the country, including Cape Cod. A number of us in Maine familiar with that. Our next guest here on Sports Lit 101 knows all about Cape Cod League Baseball, and he's taken a journey across America to report on it. He is the sports writer who's been covering Cape baseball for a number of years in Rhode Island, and has written about the Cape Cod League at rightfieldfog.com, and is the author of a wonderful new book, Summer Baseball Nation, 9 Days in the Wood Bat Leagues. Will Gagan joins us. Will, thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
This is such a wonderful book. It I could almost smell the ocean breeze down at the Cape. And this was a labor of love for you, because this was in many ways a journey that began when you were a kid.
Yeah, it really was. I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, but my parents are both Boston natives. So every summer, my sister and I, my parents, we made a pilgrimage back to Cape Cod, where my mom had grown up vacationing. So a big part of that, you know, my dad was a big baseball fan. I was a big baseball fan. Was going to Cape League games, and that's really what hooked me in. That's kind of the roots of this whole thing.
Well, my grandfather, who lived to be 105, played very briefly in the original Cape League before it was a wooden bat college league. So it's always had a place of honor sort of in my family. What I loved about this book, and I think it will be true for a lot of people, is Major League Baseball and I had been estranged for a long time, but I love minor league baseball. And this book made me remember why I love the game. And I think you did a fabulous job by bringing us to where this game is played for the love of playing baseball.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. That's what really, really sucked me into it too. You know, I think when you're a little kid and you're watching Cape League baseball, you don't necessarily grasp exactly what you're watching. And then, you know, I got older and I said, man, these guys are really good. And I'm remembering names when I see them in Major League Baseball. And I said, I saw that guy, you know, playing in Chatham on a, you know, high school field. Like, how cool was that? I got that kid's autograph. So that part of it just is really cool. And that sort of is the brand of baseball that you see all over the country in these summer collegiate leagues. Because it's not just the Cape. It's really all over the place. And it's the same kind of thing where it's this small, you know, small towns, a lot of smaller kind of venues, and it's kids who are on the way up, just like you said, playing for the love of the game in you know, these summer nights.
I laughed too at a little bit of a Bangor, Maine connection here. When I was reminded when you wrote about Red Wilson Field, that Red coached up here at Husson University for a number of years.
Oh, I did not realize that. What a good piece of trivia.
Yeah, so there's certainly a connection. And we've had people like Mike Coots, who was an assistant baseball coach at the University of Maine, and now the softball coach, also a coach down at the Cape for several seasons.
Yep. And I know the UMaine baseball team always sends a few guys specifically to Chatham, it seems like, in the Cape League. That you right. see one or two guys from there every year.
You also took in a game that has to be the unique baseball game in that it starts at midnight and you don't need lights.
Yep, that is the Midnight Sun game up in Fairbanks, Alaska. Definitely a bucket list item for baseball fans if you're looking to make the journey up there. Pretty amazing. You know, the summer, around the summer solstice in Alaska, the sun doesn't really set. I think it kind of goes below the horizon around 2:30 in the morning, but twilight remains. So they decided a long time ago to play a baseball game, and the tradition has continued with a summer league team. The Gold Panners of Fairbanks, who have kind of a rich history. So they've been playing the game for years. They get big crowds. You can kind of see from the crowd that it's a bucket list kind of thing. People are coming from other places. This isn't all just local fans. And that was pretty cool. I mean, that was probably the best part of the journey for me. Even if I hadn't been writing about it, it was just really cool to be there, to look at the clock and look at the game and say, wow, this is really happening.
Well, I didn't know a whole lot about the Alaskan League, so it was fascinating to learn about that. And sad, too, in a way that the quality of players that they get isn't quite what it used to be when they were getting some of the really big names.
Yeah, it is. It used to be that the Cape League and the Alaska League were sort of matching each other. You know, one on the East Coast and one far on the other coast. So you have Barry Bonds played in Alaska, Tom Seaver, Dave Winfield. So in those days, there were just some pipelines with some of the West Coast schools, and great players played up there, which really lended sort of a mystique to Alaska baseball. And you know, since then, I think it's just the travel, the distance. I don't think scouts are going there quite as much, so you've seen it drop off a little bit. They still get a lot of Division I players, a lot of really quality players. And you know, one of the general managers up there, he said, you know, if you're going to play a few summers of summer collegiate baseball, Alaska should probably be one of them, just for the experience.
There's also a championship at the end of the season that I was completely unaware of until I read the book. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so that's called the National Baseball Congress World Series, and it's played every year in Wichita, Kansas. And it brings in a lot of summer collegiate teams, not all of them. Like the Cape League used to send some teams, and then they decided to do their own postseason, their own thing. But like the Alaska League will send a team or two, like the California Collegiate League. There's a league in Texas that's in some of the Midwest leagues. So you get some of these summer collegiate teams, and then they also will allow semi-pro teams to participate. So a few years ago, they had a team of former major leaguers who just got together to like play this tournament. So that's a kind of a cool element of summer ball that some of these teams have really embraced. Like the Gold Panners have won a bunch of championships there, and that was always like their big thing. They would have their season in the Alaska League, but then the big goal was to get to Wichita. And another team that's featured in the book, the Santa Barbara Foresters, a really successful team out in California. They go pretty much every year, and they've at this point won the most championships of anybody in NBC World Series history.
We're talking with Will Gagan about his book, Summer Baseball Nation. Red Sox baseball fans of a certain age, mine and Bruce's, will enjoy seeing the name Dick Raddatz Jr. come up in the book. Can you talk about his role?
Yeah, so Dick Raddatz Jr., the son of the Red Sox closer, kind of cult hero status from what I gather. so Dick Jr. Was involved in minor league baseball for a long time down in Florida. And then you broke off from that and decided to start, you know, with some other investors, the Northwoods League up in the upper Midwest, which would be a summer collegiate league. And their sort of goal when they started it out was to replace, to fill a void that some of these towns, Kenosha, Wisconsin, and Rochester, Minnesota, that those towns had lost minor league teams. They couldn't support sort of the new needs of a minor league team with luxury suites and corporate sponsorships and things like that. So they saw an opening to start summer collegiate leagues up there where there are, you know, fewer expenses and, you know, players are collegiate NCAA players, obviously. And it just took off. You know, the team in Madison, Wisconsin averages over 6,000 fans a game, better than a lot of minor league teams. So that so they really caught fire, and then the league has just grown. They play this big schedule. It's long bus trips. They really pride themselves on preparing players for minor league baseball, which is I think something that the organizations can appreciate. So that it's really taken off, and it's a little bit of a different kind of league. It's actually a for-profit model. So these teams are year-long organizations with full-time staff, essentially run like a minor league type team, and the fans have really embraced it.
As MLB contracts the minor leagues, do you think there are going to be greater opportunities for wood bat leagues?
I think that's very possible. It was mentioned in some of the proposals, some of the articles that came out about the possibilities with the minor league contraction, that maybe there would be expanded summer leagues, or the teams might have. I think they were calling them the dream leagues, where they'd be looking at guys who were out of college but looking for a shot. So I think it is possible. The market is pretty stacked at this point for summer collegiate baseball. It's everywhere around the country right now. So I don't know that a new league that's starting up could really get a foothold. But maybe there'll be a new change in model. Maybe there'll be a league that plays just at one stadium, and they have, you know, four teams or six teams or whatever. And they limit travel, and they just have the scouts there all the time. So I think the industry is always evolving, and it's been very successful, and there's a lot of people who want to get involved in it. I do think as minor leagues, if a town, a city loses a minor league team, maybe they look at summer collegiate baseball as an alternative.
Well, of course, the book has taken on an added poignancy with the announcement that the Cape Cod League is canceling this season. From a financial standpoint, what do those Cape League games mean to that area?
Yeah, you know, it's a big part of the tourist season in Cape Cod. You know, it's something that the chambers of commerce all market. I think it brings some people in. I think, you know, people who are vacationing there, I don't know how many people are going specifically for the baseball, who knows? But it's certainly a big part of the summer there. So I think it'll impact that. The teams there, the league is a nonprofit, you know, big budget and everything, but they're not, they don't actually sell tickets. It's all donation based. So, you know, they'll take a hit in terms of not having a summer of donations and things like that. But I think the lack of operations cost, at least for the teams, will make everything, you know, continue to be viable down the line.
Well, Will, it really is a wonderful book. As Bruce said, it reminds us what we love most about baseball, a trip through Summer Baseball Nation, 9 days in the Wood Bat Leagues. It's a wonderful read. And without any real baseball, this has been very wonderful to sift through the last couple of nights. So thank you so much. And thanks for joining us to talk about it.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Will.
Will Gagan, the book Summer Baseball Nation, here on Downtown.